Hits FM 104.6 at 10 minutes to midday every Saturday.
Welcome to Radio Gaga at Planet FM 104.6, sharing life and experiences from disabled people, by disabled people, for disabled people. Each week, we bring you stories based around our multiple abilities. You don't have to wait any longer to listen to insightful views, news, and reviews from around your community. We invite you to join us as we show you our community. Radio Gaga wants you to understand our dreams for a truly inclusive Auckland.
Hello, you are here with Joshua and Mel. How are you today, Mel?
I'm good. We're on Radio Gaga, aren't we, Josh?
Yes, we are.
Yes, the show all about disability and debunking all the issues and rubbish all around disability.
Yep.
But have you ever played Xbox before, Josh?
Yep.
Well, I was playing Xbox on the weekend for the very first time and playing Guitar Hero, and I thought, well, I'll give it a go because I can stand up close to the big TV that my boyfriend has. And previously, you know, with gaming consoles, I've only played on PlayStation and used it for the internet and YouTube. But this was the first time I've ever played a game on a gaming console. And it was quite an experience, you know, and playing Guitar Hero and playing the guitar. It was like pushing buttons and following like these little blocks on the screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So thankfully, I could see it with my low vision. But I think with people with other disabilities, they may struggle to play gaming consoles and play games, especially for someone that doesn't have very good motion in their hands or doesn't have a certain limb, for example.
I met someone who has low vision and works in the court.
In the court?
Yes.
What kind of court? Supreme Court?
The Manukau Court. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, yes, we'll keep their information private. But if they are playing Xbox during the day, maybe they might screw up some cases. But in any case, Xbox has brought out an adaptive controller. And after some music, we're going to hear what they have to say about their new controller.
Okay, Xbox controller.
Yes.
Baby, lay on back and relax. Kick your pretty feet up on my dash. No need to go nowhere fast. Let's enjoy right here where we at. Who knows where this road is supposed to lead? We got nothing but time. As long as you're right here next to me, everything's gonna be alright. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. It is meant to be. It'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. So won't you ride with me, ride with me. See where this thing goes. It is meant to be. It'll be, it'll be. Baby, if it's meant to be.
I don't mean to be so uptight, but my heart's been hurt a couple times by a couple guys that didn't treat me right.
At Xbox, we have a controller design that our fans love. However, for gamers with limited mobility or gamers who don't use both their hands, this controller design might not work best for them.
I pushed you out of the way. I'm sorry.
Doorknobs are the worst thing ever invented. Putting on shoes, the cell phones that I use, these are the sorts of things that we don't think about until we have to, and I think about them every day.
I have cerebral palsy on my entire right side. This side of the controller is fine. This side doesn't happen. As game platforms have gotten more sophisticated, the controllers have gotten more sophisticated, and it started to get really frustrating.
We designed the Xbox Adaptive Controller through feedback from the accessibility community.
The Xbox Adaptive Controller is really easy. You just plug it in, and then you can plug in various other devices. I can make it work for me the way it has to.
With the Xbox Adaptive Controller, a gamer can game with one hand and one foot, or one hand and their shoulder, or even one foot and their chin.
And I can change it from game to game.
Good, ready? Forward. Squeeze tall. There it is.
Craig Hospital is a facility for patients who've either had a spinal cord injury or a traumatic brain injury, and it's a place for their rehab.
We're here for game night, and we're helping new patients getting back into gaming again. Is that the D-pad?
Yeah. Okay. Our role as occupational therapists is to get people back to doing. When the Xbox Adaptive Controller came along, it acted like an Xbox controller, and it just worked.
Uh-oh. Over there.
On the standard Xbox controller, it's just hard to press the buttons because can't really put pressure through my hands. But then with the Adaptive Controller, I can use like larger joysticks, larger buttons that are easier to press and reach.
Corey and his brother Zachary are twins. Before Corey's injury, Zachary had gamed with him regularly, and that was the way that they related to each other as siblings.
Who do you love playing Xbox with here at Craig Hospital?
Zach. The Xbox Adaptive Controller and the Co-Pilot feature allowed them again to play games together. So there's a huge social component to it.
You got that. Yes, yes. They can play any game that they want. I see the confidence just burst out of them.
What do you think of the controller, Josh?
I think it's very unique, but I wish I could see it for myself. So tonight I'm going to look it up on YouTube.
Definitely. It's like this white little box with two round black circle things on it. Mm-hmm. And I guess it'll be easy to push because it just, you know, you push on either north, south, west or east of the little black circle and it would do what you want it to do. But I really think it would be used really well in therapeutic kind of situations, you know, especially for young children that want to be social and play with their friends and their family and even adults, you know, when they have probably had an accident or something similar, you know, get them on an Xbox or a gaming console where they can focus on something and learn and adapt to using something different than they would usually use when they're playing. So I'm glad that they're using it in hospitals.
It's good that someone's came up with an invention and an idea just for, especially for patients that have got one arm or their leg, one leg or amputee or something with an artificial leg that can use the leg to help them move side to side or shoot or something like that.
It's very inclusive, isn't it?
It's like, for instance, saying me, I've come up with an idea. This, for instance, if I come up with an idea and then someone thinks, oh, you know, maybe this might be able to work. And there's an invention show that I've seen on Discovery Channel. It's called Quirkies. And what they do on Quirkies is people get inventing things and they get paid for it at the end of it. And the Quirkies are actually designers themselves.
Okay.
And they tell other people if it's the right thing or the wrong thing. And then they come up with new different ideas just for that product. And then the person that gets caught up gets their own product sold on Quirkies.
Okay. Do you see many products on there that are accessible and inclusive of everyone that could use them? Or would they, some of those products limit people from using?
They're really good products. Like this lady had lost her keys and she came up with an idea for keys, and it's a lock. They can lock your keys on, and within weeks and weeks and weeks, she became a millionaire just from one idea.
Wow.
From one idea.
Yeah.
One little idea can make a life-changing experience.
Well, too, because then everyone can use it, you know.
Yeah.
Find a problem and come up with a solution
and
that will work
it.
For everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to hear from Virginia Warren about her Suffrage Day parade that she's organising. Hi, Virginia.
Hello, Mel.
You're here today to tell us about the suffrage event you're organising.
Yes, this is it's become a big event. I started off really just thinking I was just going to do something small.
Yeah.
And every time I meet anyone, they say, have you thought of doing this?
Okay.
So it's getting bigger and bigger. So I've got about 50 balls in the air and I'm trying to keep them there.
Yeah, because you were mentioning to me a while ago that there's going to be a dove release at the end of this parade that you're organising. I mean, how did you come up with that?
In the middle of the night.
Okay. Were you dreaming about doves?
No, I wasn't able to sleep, so I turned the radio on and I heard this about somebody. And I thought, that's what we want. That has just the right appeal. So that was the first thing I did for the whole thing of booking the, making the event
become the very
happen.
First thing.
Yeah.
Well, it is good when you're an organiser to work from backwards to front. As long as on the day you don't put your top on backwards, right?
That's right. I hope not to do that.
No, you'll look lovely, I suppose. But the significance, I guess, of releasing doves would be the freedom that women and migrants and people with disabilities have to vote and be involved in other things in New Zealand. So tell us what suffrage is all about.
Well, it always seems to me rather a strange word to use, but it started in New Zealand in the 1890s, where Kate Sheppard was, amongst others, but she was very much a leader, felt that women should have a vote. It had started with the Temperance Society first, because they were trying to stop the men drinking all the money and they had nothing. And they couldn't do anything about it because they had no vote. So she set about trying to get votes, trying to get onto the electoral roll. And she started off with petitions. And the petitions were quite small to, well, 28,000 to start with. That wasn't enough. And then I think it went to 30,000 and then it went to nearly 32,000.
Goodness.
And that's when it was accepted. And, of course, men helped as well. But the women really made a lot of very hard work and a lot of sacrifices. So,
yeah. Yes, they would have. And it would have been hard to probably get everyone to come together around New Zealand, because communication isn't like it is today. So how do you think they got everyone involved? You know, the not propaganda, but the promotion of...
Well, they were on bicycles.
Were they?
A lot of the time they went round the South Island on bicycles, which I think is admirable.
Absolutely.
Yep. There's one story of, actually it's a local person from Franklin, whose great-grandmother was going with her mother to try and get the people to sign the signatures, and she went out to this farm, and she talked to the guy there, the farmer, and she came home, and then a bit later that week, I don't know if it was that farmer or another farmer, came to her father and said, do you know what your women are doing? They're signing this petition to try and get votes.
Yes.
And he said, well, they're of age where they can do what they like. I think it's a very good thing, and I have signed the petition as well.
Oh, so men could sign the petition.
Men did sign it. Oh. Men were very helpful, some of them. And the other, and then the guy said, right, I'm never going to buy any rams from you again. So men had to make sacrifices. People had to make sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't, and one doesn't know how many other farmers were into not buying sheep or lamb or rams from this guy. So it was a financial sacrifice as well.
Mm. Yeah, there would have been. Mm. And would it have cost them a lot, you know, in years to come because of those sacrifices?
I don't know about that. it did take quite a long time before, well, there were several years before they actually got the vote.
Yes.
So it was about 3 or 4 years before, when they'd started, before they actually got the ability to vote. And we haven't got a good record of who signed the petition, because they were very far-reaching. For people like us in Pukekohe,
yeah,
we were lumped together with Auckland, and it went quite a long way. So to try and find the people who signed the petition is quite hard.
Yes, and that would have been lovely to recognise those women from Pukekohe, wouldn't it?
We'd very much like to. And yeah, in fact, with this event we've got organised for September the 15th in Pukekohe, we are also, the genealogists in the area are getting all the local families to send them information about anyone in their family who might have been on the electoral roll.
Yes, I was just thinking that. Because I use the electoral rolls and census information from the past when I'm doing my own genealogy with my family on Ancestry.com. But, you know, people that do it more regularly, the genealogists, they should be able to get a lot of information from their families, you know, the research.
Well, that's what they're hoping to have. They've actually, so far, they've got 120 or plus bios that they're doing. So they're asking the families to write the bios.
Yeah.
And we are hoping that we will have a commemorative program with some of those bios in it when we get it, when we get the funding to do it, at least. So, yeah, it is taking time, but they're now looking more at the electoral roll rather than the people who signed the petition, because that's easier to see. They can find them.
Mm-hmm. And that does tell us a lot of information about how people have gone about having an opinion and about the country and living where they feel the most comfortable. In the past, in recent years, and I think probably for most of the time that people have been able to vote, especially women and migrants and stuff, they have the right to vote, but especially for disabled people, they can't get to the voting booths, or they find, especially for me with a visual impairment, I find at the booth it very difficult to vote because the papers are too small to read. And then even for migrant people too, they may not even know that they can vote because, you know, coming from a different country, they haven't had the right to vote. So showing people that Suffrage Day is a very important day to celebrate. It's just a reminder for a lot of people that they can have a say and an opinion.
Well, what we're doing at, with these flyers that I've just had printed by a kind printer in Pukekohe, I have got them in Korean, in Hindu, in Gujarati, in Turkish, in other languages, but they're not always absolutely correct because I have taken the translations off Google.
Okay.
And so I have had to get other people to check that they don't say anything completely stupid.
Yes.
And mostly it's been all right. So,
good.
Yeah.
Good. And are there any other stories about suffrage women? Because it was the woman that we mostly hear about. I mean, there's even a movie about the woman in New Zealand that helped us get the vote, isn't there? Do you know the name of that movie?
There was, it's just gone.
That's all right.
But there was the British film.
Yes.
And then there was, That Bloody Woman.
Ah,
that's
yes.
The one. It's the show. I don't know if they made it into a film. Very good show.
Yeah.
That they've done, reproduced a few times. And we went to it as a group from BPW.
Yes.
And we all dressed up in 1890s and we went as a group and we had our placards and things. So that was rather fun.
Oh, yeah. That would have been lovely, yes. Virginia. Yeah. Yes.
And in fact, for the parade, because we're on the September the 15th, we're having a parade down the main street. And I'm hoping we'll have about 4,000 people if I get around to all of them.
Oh, you've got off to a good start already, Virginia. Well done.
And then we will, and we'll go down the main street across the town square and into the library and the town hall. And that's where we'll get a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the doves will be released. And then there's also going to be an afternoon tea, in multicultural afternoon tea in the town hall. And we're going with the cultures that were prominent at the time. So Maori, Indian, Chinese and Pakeha.
Okay.
So we're getting all those different groups to make a particular tea that goes with their culture.
Okay.
So that we can... Because food's a very good barrier, breakdown of barriers between people.
It is, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and are you looking for any more businesses to get involved in sponsorship or exhibition or anything at the parade?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What I've been around going down the streets, and I go into the shops, and sometimes I go into something like a computer store.
Yes.
And it's mostly men. And so I have to think of a way of getting to them.
Well, I'm sure you're good at selling, aren't you?
Well, I say, you know, if it wasn't for your great-grandmothers, you know.
Pressure. Yeah, so do they seem as keen as you are to get involved?
They do. When I tell them they could walk down in the parade with a photograph on the placard of their great-grandmother, they think, they smile anyway and look as if they're going to parade, be involved, but who knows until the day. Then the other thing we're doing is we're having an expo for non-profit organisations.
Okay, yes.
So that will be people like stamp clubs, chess clubs, guides, rural women,
yes.
Zonta,
okay.
BPW, anyone who, and a lot of these are run by women, so it seems relevant. We're not into making any money. There's no profit going to be involved. We need to cover our costs.
Yes.
And so that will be where they can show the changes that have happened in their organisations. Like women couldn't have bank accounts.
They couldn't.
Until about the 1970s.
Oh, wow, that wasn't very long ago.
No. Mm.
Did you experience that yourself, Virginia? Because you're an older woman. And did you used to not have a bank account? Because I can't even imagine for myself as a younger woman.
I am a mature woman.
Yes. Yes, mature and older and experienced.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I've got 78 years of wisdom and experience tucked under my belt.
Yes.
So, yeah. No, I've never had that experience, fortunately.
Yeah.
But then I wasn't here in the 70s. I was in other countries. So I've lived in a lot of countries. So I've always had a bank account. And I would have been most incensed if I hadn't been allowed to. And, of course, they couldn't have women couldn't have mortgages.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah, all sorts of things like that.
Wow.
So those are some of the things that I'm wanting these, not-for-profit organisations to demonstrate in their area that they'll have to exhibit.
Yeah.
They'll be able to show changes in their organisation, in the types of clothing they wore, like something like St John's Ambulance, the sorts of clothes they used to wear and how they've evolved. And they'll also be able to recruit new members. So they're allowed to do that, but they can't sell anything.
No, because it's a voluntary organisation, isn't it?
And the police, the Air Force are going to be involved.
Okay.
And I hope the police are going to be involved and the other defence forces. We're still negotiating on that.
Yeah. And diversity is such a big subject and debate and conversation nowadays. And it would be really interesting to see, you know, how they've become more diverse in their organisations, especially in the Air Force and the police and the ambulance service as well.
Yeah. Yes, that's going to be... I've met with Squadron Leader Magdalenas. And she told me a lot about, you know, the changes that they've seen and they will demonstrate.
Yeah.
It's a celebration. It's a celebration of the hard work, and we want it to be a celebration. And we want it to be as diverse and inclusive as we can make it. So it's every religion, every gender, old and young, able, disabled, any opposites you can think of will be involved in this. So I'm quite excited about it.
Me too. I hope to come along.
Good.
Yes.
You'll have to carry a placard.
Well, I discovered that one of my ancestors was a servant over in England a couple of days ago. I discovered that. So maybe I can draw a picture of them. I don't know.
I should think they were jolly glad to come to New Zealand where servants, being a servant was not so important.
Yeah.
That brings me to another story. I was going around one of the real estate agents and I was saying, you know, oh, your great-grandmothers. And this guy said he was from India and his great-grandmother was an Indian there. So I said, oh, well, I was a little taken aback. And then I said, he said to me, well, if she'd been here, she'd have been in the four. So I thought, hooray. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, Josh, are you going along too?
I don't know. It's very good that we have different diversities in our country, and we have, yes, we have special needs people in our country as well. And just as you're saying about the woman having the right to vote and everything, it's good that special needs people too get to have the right to vote as well. And it's very good that women actually have the power now to vote. And way back then, it might not have even been possible for women or women to vote.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it would just be a dream, wouldn't it? You know, especially for disabled people, because often their family members, I suppose, wouldn't want to hear what they had to say anyway.
Well, so they were put away out of sight. You know, you were not sort of wanted to be associated.
No.
It was terrible, and I'd never have these lovely people around.
No, we wouldn't be here.
It's like when I first voted, I was like, "Am I allowed to vote? What's the purpose of voting?" You know, people need to understand what the purpose of voting is and who their politicians are, who their what kind of thing that they can actually vote for.
Yeah.
Yes, what they represent for you too. That's very important. It doesn't matter which side you want to support, but voting is important. Like any shower of rain, it starts with one drop. And it's those drops that collect that make it the shower.
Yeah. And Virginia, do you know how many women are in Parliament at the moment?
Oh, I couldn't answer that.
Oh, that's all right. We'll all have to research that and get involved, you know.
But we've got two who are having babies, or one's had a month.
That's right. Yes, she has, and another one's on the way.
Yes.
Yes. And that is quite a milestone. And, I mean, the news was reporting it as a historic event. And, I mean, there's some people are of the opinion that, I mean, why should it be? Because, I mean, we're just all women and men, and women just have babies and stuff. And why should it be made such a big deal? But it is good that it has been picked up globally to show everyone and other governments and parliamentarians that, you know, you can have a baby and run the country at the same time.
And be effective.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, Virginia, give us all the details of the event.
Well, the event is Saturday the 15th of September. The parade will start at 1, and that'll be the afternoon tea will be at 2:30, and the expo will be open through the day from 10 o'clock until 4 p.m. So there's plenty for people to see and do, and we'd love everybody involved.
Great. Is this a free event?
Absolutely.
Great.
Oh, well, no, perhaps I shouldn't say that. You have got to pay to go to the tea.
Okay.
And if you want to exhibit, it's a nominal cost. It's $20 to have the space, and the tea is $25. So we've kept it as just to cover our costs and a lot of voluntary stuff. And Auckland Council have been very good, and Auckland and Frankton Local Board have been very good, and the printers in Works for You in Pukekohe, Alpine Printers and Deed Printers have all been very very good to us. They've done a lot for us.
Yes, thank you to all those people that have helped you organise and get the event together. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today, Virginia. How can people get in contact with you about the event?
Probably the best is my email, which is warren, W-A-R-R-E-N, at P-S, that's packing shed, P-S, dot gen, G-E-N, dot N-Z.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Virginia.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I'd like to thank our sponsors today, Renaissance Group, a supporting living provider in Auckland. If you'd like to find them on the web, you can find them at www.renaissancegroup.org.nz. If you'd like to find out more about Radio Gaga, you can find us at facebook.com/Radio Gaga 104.6 FM. Thank you for listening today.
Hey, thanks for listening to Radio Gaga. Remember, listen every Wednesday, 1 p.m. or any time online at planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Gaga. where we will share another week's insights. Also remember, this program is available for 7 days after this broadcast, so grab your friends, family, workmates and community groups to listen online when it suits them. Join us Wednesdays at 1 p.m.